There is flexing. Hey, there we go. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the Banff Podcast. I am your host, Mike Lafferty. We're doing a rare early morning session today, so we can interview a famous RPG person, Amit Moshe. How you doing, Amit?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the superlatives.
You are the City of Mist guy, and City of Mist was a really huge splash last year, and he's coming back today to promote his new City of Mist-related Kickstarter with our With us today is frequent co-host and actually frequent host, Walt Rebilliard. Hey, Walt.
Knights of Paintown. Let's do some talking.
All right, let's dive right into it then. Knights of Paintown is the name of this Kickstarter. And I'm guessing, it says cases, expansions, revised core books, and more. Let's dive right into it. For the uninitiated, I mean, there's potentially someone listening to this podcast who doesn't know what City of Mist is. Can we give them a quick elevator pitch?
Yeah. Sure. So City of Mist is a noir role-playing game. I guess some people put it in the supers category, other people urban fantasy, because in City of Mist you play detectives, crooks, vigilantes, ordinary city folk that have legends incarnated in them. So Alice in Wonderland, King Arthur, and the Egyptian gods could be incarnated in your character, giving them supernatural or superpowers. So you, as your character, you investigate strange cases. The whole premise is that the mist keeps those powers hidden from people who haven't awoken to their legend, or sleepers. So the city actually runs like a normal city, where there's this hidden underworld of crime and magic behind the scenes, and you get to investigate all kinds of cases and delve deeper and deeper into that, and basically you discover a lot of super villainous modern day legends that control the city. So when we've played it on the Banff podcast before, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was one of our most popular shows the last couple of years. We had did a two-part actual play. It was Walt and myself and who was our third?
Jacob
was there. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And let me tell you, it hurt to burn some powers, man. still feeling the pain on that one.
Yeah, that mechanic is painful but effective.
It's I still remember the adventures of my detective wearing his ruffled and stained trench coat.
That's right.
So this is a Powered by the Apocalypse game.
Yeah, it's kind of an offshoot of Powered by the Apocalypse. So it takes mainly the moves mechanics from Powered by the Apocalypse, whereby all the roles are pretty simple and straightforward, and you have only 8 core moves, which keeps the game moving really fast. And also the fact that you can't just silently fail. There has to be some kind of an outcome or a consequence to every role, keeps the story, you know, running and flowing. And it gets very, very quick and intensive. But it doesn't have the stats from Powered by the Apocalypse games. So instead of stats, we have tags that actually allow the flexibility of creating any kind of superpower that you want. And you just kind of name the tags that are applicable to any action you do, and that gives you the modifier. And that's something I felt like I had to do when I approached a Powered by the Apocalypse superpowers game, because, you know, you kind of always have this really interesting slant on your character's powers. And somehow with all the other games that I love, like, Champions, Mutants and Masterminds, you kind of have to force your idea into the list of powers that's there. So I wanted to circumvent that. And so far it's been going really well.
All right, cool. So that was a $100,000 Kickstarter back in 2017. And here we are in mid-2018 talking about the Knights of Paintown, which tell us exactly what this is.
Yeah, so Knights of Paintown is the Kickstarter is promoting a couple of books. Basically, the purpose is to expand the City of Mist product line. So Knights of Paintown is going to be a story arc book with 10 cases or adventures that you can play either individually or as part of an ongoing story arc or campaign. And it basically revolves around villains in City of Mist are called avatars. There are people in the city who have almost completely kind of got rid of their human shell and they're completely their legend. And basically their agenda is to promote their legends, you know, either feeling or message throughout the city. So if you have, for example, Peter Pan, he could become a person who has the legend of Peter Pan inside them could become, you know, this supervillain that has a whole operation for promoting people kind of leaving their obligations or becoming forever young or whatever, wherever you want to take that. So in Knights of Paintown, I'm obviously not going to reveal the avatar behind it because the whole beauty of it is kind of to investigate and reveal that. So you start off with cases that seem unconnected, and the more you delve in, you realize that there is someone who's kind of manipulating basically the whole city. And this specific campaign book is story arc is going to kind of delve into the history of the city and what happened way before, and you know, this kind of maybe previous groups of heroes and villains cropping up again throughout the history. So we have a lot planned for this book. And the other thing we have on this campaign, first of all, as I forgot to mention, you can also get the core books on this campaign. We're splitting the core book, which is kind of hefty, into its 500 pages, where for a really rules light system, it was mostly about design and kind of a lot of space that we wanted to leave in it, and it's very readable. So we're going to split it into two books, one for the player and one for the MC or the GM. So you can get those books as well, the core books. You can get all the accessories. And the second book that we're promoting is Shadows and Showdowns, which is an expansion that includes you know, more player options, several key organizations like the Gatekeepers, who are actually the organization behind the Veil of the Mist that's upkeeping and maintaining the Veil of the Mist. And they're kind of like the big baddies, if you want to look at them that way. So everything is in the noir setting. Everything is kind of, I guess, morally gray. But these are the main books that you can get there on this campaign.
Okay, cool. So I'm guessing there was some people complaining about the Titanic size of the core book, and so you're splitting it up.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the main complaint was people really loved the book. We got a lot of love on Amazon. Like everything is 5 stars, and we're so excited about that. But I think it's kind of a barrier for people who want to get into the system, and that was a bit of a shame because the system is so, you know, noob friendly. It's just basically a bunch of words. There's hardly any math or complicated calculations in it. There isn't any. So, you know, so I felt like we needed to create a player guide that's more accessible.
All right, cool. Is that going to be up on RPG Now or other outlets like that after the Kickstarter is done?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the core rules, as far as PDFs go, you know, the core rules are not going to change, so you can always just grab the core book in its entirety. But yeah, printed books are definitely going to be all over the place, with some obviously in stores. But if we want to make it happen, we need your help. So anyone listening, please join us on the Kickstarter.
Yep, and you've been running for, it looks like, just 4 or 5 days so far, and you're already over halfway to your goal. So
yeah, we set kind of a high goal. We wanted to have all the funds we need to create something in the caliber of the core book, which is, you know, I don't know if you got a look at it, but it's just really packed with art and design, very, you know, custom designed. So yeah, we set a high first goal. So we're already more than halfway there. We're excited.
Yeah, I got the PDF, and yeah, it's a beautiful book. I don't know if I ever asked you who your artist is, but just a beautiful looking
document. Yeah, you have, I think. He's amazing. Okay. Marcin Sobon. He's a Polish guy, and the second artist, Mariusz Schulz, is also a Polish guy, and they're both... The art is actually the only thing that got through for Ennies this year, so we are nominated for 3 Ennies Awards for the art.
Oh, cool. You know, for a brand new company like you guys are, that's kind of a thing, because usually you gotta, you know, not
know a guy who knows a guy.
Or, you know, be named with a company that rhymes with Mezo or an unfriendly headgear. I mean, usually it's those guys who win all the awards.
It's interesting that you say that. Yeah,
I'm no so gonna make t-shirts that say unfriendly headgear.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that.
I run the small fan website awards just for superheroes game, the Bamfsies, which are, you know, getting more successful every year.
We want to get that.
Yeah. You know, this year we almost got Karatop to be a presenter at our big gala in Vegas, but he had a dental appointment. He couldn't make it. But, you know, maybe next year, you know, we're holding out. But speaking of the Ennies, you are going to Gen Con. So if people want to come out and meet you and shake your hand and, you know, buy your book, where can they find you there?
Yeah, that would be great. We're going to be at the Modiphius booth. Well, part of the time I'm going to be there. The books are going to be there most of the time until I'm assuming they're going to kind of get sold out because we don't have a huge amount of stock there. Sorry.
You okay, Amit? Amit, did we lose you?
He muted, I think it is.
Yeah, temporarily. Sorry.
No worries.
I'm going to be in the Modiphius booth. The books are going to be in the Modiphius booth. Yeah, and if anyone wants to reach out to me, you can find City of Mist on Facebook, on Twitter, and we're going to run a few kind of ad hoc games. I wasn't sure I was going to be there, so we didn't set up everything. It's going to be fun. I look forward to it.
Yeah, and just I had to check to make sure, but you were actually a winner of a BAMC last year. You were one of Sean Fannin's picks, one of our judges. So,
I remember that.
You know, this any noise can come or go, man. you already won the Oscar of superhero RPGs, so you know.
There you go. Everything else.
Pressure off. Yeah, just have a drink, enjoy yourself. You know.
Exactly. I can dial it down now.
Yeah. Let the good times roll.
So I've got to run upstairs. Unfortunately, it's morning time here in Denver, and my young son has woken up and is demanding Cocoa Pebbles. So I've got to go to that situation. Walt, I'm going to pass the mic over to you for a few minutes. You good to go?
I think I could muster my way through it.
All right, be back momentarily. Thanks, guys.
Excellent. Okay. So Amit, I'm always the art guy. I love the art. I love the art. I love the art. So, who had your art direction? Because I mean, this has got like Sin City mixed with mixed with Scarface, mixed with supernatural horror. I mean, there's so much good stuff going on, but the look of it, you know, you just got that neon look, like, you know, at any moment, you know, part of the sign could short out and the word you were looking at could spell something else, you know, leading into the story. Can you talk about
that? Yeah, for sure. I like that you kind of totally got the vibe of it. It means that the art is working. Yeah,
oh, it's gorgeous.
That's definitely the kind of vibe that we wanted to, you know, to transmit. And I think it gets across really well. The artists are awesome. I guess most of the art direction I did myself. I just really had the vision of what I wanted to achieve there. It was exactly as you said it, some kind of a crossover between graphic novels and stuff like Fables, and especially The Wolf Among Us, the game from Telltale. That was a big inspiration for these things. It's kind of similar. It's not, I guess there are some differences, but these stories are kind of similar. So yeah, that was the mood that I wanted to set, you know, some kind of a neon noir atmosphere where there's actually magic involved as well. So yeah, but the artists are amazing. I mean, if you look at some of the maps Marius drew, or obviously the art Martin creates for our covers, it's just haunting. I mean, it's this mix of, as you said, crime and magic and neon, and it's just... I love it. I love it. I mean, I've known Martin for a long time, and we've been planning it for a long time. We used to work together. So this has been, yeah, this has been a work of a couple of years.
That's really groovy. I mean, I can just picture like The Godfather mixed with Harry Dresden going on in this, and it would totally work.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're going for. So yeah, I think what's really cool about it is we want to do some more storytelling in the art next time. I think that we kind of dabbled with it in parts of the book, but we did a lot of character art because we wanted to show people, okay, your character doesn't have to be just like a legend in its modern form. It could be some, you know, very unique person and the combinations that you can have. So one of the things we have in the core book is these mythos and logos cards, like your ordinary and legendary, and you can just pick out, you know, detective with sun god, or you could be an, you know, like a hobo drunk person with, you know, with, let's say, the legend of Paul Bunyan. So he's like super strong, you know, it could really, or I guess it's a folktale, but you know, that kind of stuff. You can really create amazing characters. And with the Knights of Paintown, what we wanted to do is to have a set of cases that is ready, not just to be played, but also to showcase, I guess, the what kind of stories you can tell. Okay, so for example, in our we're going to release a case, the first case or the introductory case to Knights of Paintown. It's not a case that's actually included in the book, and that kind of follows the crew is basically following someone's death or trying to figure out a death in downtown where a car crashed. But one of the characters that's going to be there is this street hustler. We're going for those crazy 80s hairdos and kind of neon noir style. So this hustler is named Goldie, and she's basically based on Goldilocks, who's, if you think about it, she was kind of a thief. She was kind of a hustler. She was she was a jerk, exactly. So
just rolled up into these dudes' cribs and started slapping down on their mattresses and eating their food out of their fridge.
There you go. So this is kind of a more of a NPC that the characters come in contact with. But obviously the villains have really kind of very, you know, granular, very, I don't know what's the word for it, but it's just very complex kind of combinations. And it's very rich, comes across very rich. And people, I think, really love that about the game.
I think one of the richest part about what I'm seeing so far is that this is like, if you haven't experienced this yet, you know, first of all, you should automatically go to the Banff podcast and check out the actual plays that Amit was very kind to run for us, because, you know, if you haven't experienced this, that's obviously the best way to get your first fix. But, you know, if you can't do that, awesome. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. If you can't check that out and you want a little more hands-on, I mean, this is like a one-stop shop for those who would be interested in this to kind of get in on the ground level and get more bang for their buck.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can get the whole, right now, you can get all four books, you know, at a serious discount. So you can get those two core books, the split, and then you can get the story arc book and the expansion. And hopefully, as we kind of fund and go through towards the stretch goals, we're going to have a lot more, you know, additional books that you can pick up at a discount. So yeah, this is an opportunity.
So seeing as, you know, speaking of opportunity, I'm going to pick up the Clue by Four. You know, you guys have had the opportunity to be seen by a lot of eyes because your product is stunning. You know, the City of Mist book is just gorgeous to behold.
Thank you.
And so you're getting a lot of like 5-star reviews from people. Even Geek and Sundry have done some stuff to kind of highlight it. Has any of these people like invited you on to come and run a game?
Yeah, definitely. We had, I mean, we've been talking, for example, we have two pretty big shows doing a City of Mist show, right? We have, the Saving Throw show, and we have Encounter Roleplay. So nice. They've had ongoings. Yeah. They've had Encounter Roleplay as a partner of, Wizards of the Coast. We also actually have on Knights of Paintown, we also have a writer that's worked on, Waterdeep Dragon Heist. I don't know if you know it. It's like the latest book from Wizards of the Coast, James Intercastle. He's pretty awesome. We just announced that he's going to be writing cases for Knights of Paintown. So yeah, we're starting to get people starting to know the name and hear about it. I have to really say, thank Sydney Shields, who works with who's from Encounter Roleplay, but she's also our social media manager, and she's has helped very much push City of Mist into the kind of that a little glitzier rung. And it's cool. So we're definitely getting a lot of attention. We got retweeted by Adam Coble, who's the creator of Dungeon World. We got, I don't remember all the names, but we got some pretty big names. WebDM is going to play on our kind of premiere of our demo of Knights of Paintown. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that because I actually am completely out of scene kind of character. So I wasn't really connected to what was going on. I was just like creating my games in my basement. Yeah. So I don't know anything about this stuff, and I don't know all the names, but I'm starting to get to know all these people, and it's really cool.
Now you yourself said that you're sitting in your basement and creating these games, but with all the attention, one of the cool things that I think you're doing, and of course bringing it back to the art, which once again, fantastic. you have your two tags right up on the Kickstarter main page, where you could check out a free starter set or core book preview. Can you talk about that and the decisions that led to including something like that?
Sure. So the decision to create a starter set, I mean, I come from the product design and product management field. So when I, stopped working for whatever I was working for and started doing this, it was obvious to me that I need to put something, pretty awesome and very much free on the table before anyone's going to regard us in any way. So it took us, I guess, 8 months to create the starter set. And that was a key moment for us because that kind of, it just helps people get into the game. The market is totally saturated. Everybody knows that, everybody sees that. So you gotta give the player something and something very appealing that will attract them into looking at your game. And I knew we had a great product, so that's another thing. Sometimes you spend a lot of money attracting people, but you just don't, retain them. So I knew we had a great product. I wanted to do that. And we invest a lot in the art. That's obviously one of our main things, because I also feel that it's essential for immersion. And of course, the core book preview, same again. I mean, the core book is so awesome inside, so we can't just stick with a nice cover. We want to show everyone. And also, you can start reading about the setting there, so people, get interested. I think that's really essential. And the same with the Knights of Paintown introductory case that we're going to share. So you want to get people into it. Here's how your story begins. Do you want to continue? If so, support us, and that's pretty much the strategy.
Right on. Now with, people looking to support you, and they see that, here you got Knights of Paintown is going to be obviously, a big story arc, almost like a mini campaign thing going on. You get some cool stuff on the Kickstarter page as far as like animated GIF files to as a rotating comic that you can read, kind of get you into the mood a little bit. But with that being the case, can you give us like a little elevator pitch? Like, this is kind of what starts off Paintown.
Yeah, definitely. So
without giving it away, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to be very careful. That's all the fun, but the first case of in Knights of Paintown, and I'm going to share the art for it with you, or the sketch for it, so you can put it on your page there. With the first case is called the Carnival of Machines, and as I said, it starts with a downtown junction that's illuminated by neon. There's a diner on one side, there's a sushi place on the other side. Think 80s music, synthwave in the background. It's nighttime, and a car is driving at full speed towards that junction as it kind of swerves and hits one of the lampposts, and the person inside is instantly killed. And this person is a very rich person. You can enter this case like any other City of Mist case from very many directions. You could be a group of vigilantes. You could be detectives. You could be paid pros that are paid to figure out what happened to this guy. But as the smoke from the car kind of curls and you arrive at the scene, you discover that there is some very, very shady business going around in that junction between this person and between other characters. And it's all a very kind of personal drama. But when you reach the end of that case, you will already learn that there is something bigger at play here. There is something almost organized that is starting to form in the city, or has been operating in the city and starting to transpire now. So I'm not gonna. That's as far as I'm going to review.
Yeah, I think that's pretty decent. Yeah, absolutely. When we had you on before, what's that?
No, I didn't say anything.
I have returned.
Oh, Mike returned.
Mike is back.
Mike is back. When we had you on before, we got a little taste of the city. Where we got to see a couple of districts, we got to float around a little bit and kind of get the feel. Will we see more expansions throughout the city of? Paintown? Will that kind of expand our view into the City of Mists and like what we've seen so far?
Definitely. So Knights of Paintown is going to focus on the story arc and cases that are really playable cases. It's going to have some lore regarding the past of the city and how, not really how the city came to be, but things that have happened in the city in the past and how it got to the place it is now. And that's a part of the case or the campaign. You can definitely investigate that, and you can take it or leave it. You don't have to put it into your campaign. But Shadows and Showdowns, the expansion, is going to have, first of all, a full chapter on new locations, new districts, new dangers, or basically adversaries with stat blocks and everything you need. There's basically going to be an expanded bestiary there. That's just one chapter. We're going to have a chapter on a council of avatars that's controlling the city. We're going to have a chapter on the gatekeepers, and that's going to definitely create some options for you to what is beyond the mist, because people have been talking about it over the last year. You know, what is it? Is it a normal city that's veiled? Is it like a virtual or a phantom city? Does it exist? Doesn't it exist? So obviously we have left these questions open for you to answer in your games, but we're going to provide a lot of possible answers for that for MCs or GMs. And there's going to be a lot more of the city. Even for yesterday we did a Kickstarter live and we revealed some of the stretch goals. Our first stretch goal after we get funded is a new city district, again by James Intercasso, the co-creator of Waterdeep Dragon Heist. So he's going to contribute a district that's kind of a bonus PDF. So you can get that if you back the project. So we have a lot of plans on expanding the city and revealing more, interesting kind of legendary mixed with ordinary locations and people.
Nice. Now with 26.
What would you like to see, guys? What kind of legend would you like to see incarnated in a modern day city or person?
My grandfather. He was always larger than life. Although I don't know if City of Mist could contain that much Vitalis, the hair gel that they used to use back then.
Well, it sounds perfect,
right? Oh my God. There was, in 1970s, 1980s America, a dude walking around in, like a nice cut suit with a fedora, just stood out, and that's the way he was all the time.
So, wow, there you go. Right. Or maybe kind of martial. You're into martial arts, oh, right? Yeah. Maybe absolutely. Something. Maybe one of those legends. We have a Japanese master sword forger or blacksmith. Ooh. Worked into the industrial zone, I think.
Yeah, those guys are considered national treasures in their home country. So yeah, that's cool. That's cool there as hell.
Yeah, I know if Jason Tonda were here, he would say King Arthur, but I strongly suspect you've already got King Arthur covered.
I don't want to reveal too much, but he's definitely going to be featuring in one of the next products. Yeah.
Oh, we haven't gotten. Okay, well, hey, there is one then. Okay.
No, we do. We do have him. He kind of makes a short appearance in one of the comics. We have Excalibur, right? So yeah. We had to have King Arthur, and they have a very complicated relationship. So he appears as an example in one of the comics in the core book, but his character is going to get some more love later on. In one of those products.
Okay, that's cool. You ever read Fables? That DC graphic novel or actually comic series.
Yeah, we were talking about it. It was a great inspiration. I didn't read all of it, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I read it for several years, and then once they defeated the adversary, and it was Geppetto, and he moved to New York. Spoilers, sorry guys.
He just killed it for me, man. I'm joking.
I'm sorry. And Rosebud was a sled, but I was like, well, you know, I'm thinking I'm done with this story. You know, they won the big battle. They got this is going on, and now trying to rehabilitate Geppetto, and he's living among people who hate him. I'm not really feeling that. And it went on for like several years after I dropped it. And I hear it was pretty good, but I just kind of lost interest. But I was following that for like God, half a decade, maybe 7 years. So,
there you go. This is it.
He got his start in RPGs.
Sorry?
Bill Willingham, the writer on Fables, actually got his start in RPGs.
Really?
Then. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not surprised. There's a lot of that going around. I mean, a lot of people are kind of coming out from the RPG closet, you know? You have a lot of, you know, celebrities and stuff like that. Definitely writers, TV writers that are saying, yeah, I started out with that. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised. It's the best hobby in the world.
Not really. I mean, heck, George R. R. Martin apparently... According to the rumor mill, that's one of the reasons why he hasn't finished that series yet. Is he really likes to play?
I think he's just, you know, it's just why work hard? I mean, he's done. He's done. He has everything he needs.
He's not actually done. The series isn't done yet. But yeah, I mean, he's a very comfortable man. I mean, there's no reason to produce more except to try to get it out before he dies. But you know, yeah, it's you know. Definitely a thing, but I heard his game of choice is actually Walt, do you hear this rumor?
Oh God, it's not Jenga, is it? Or Twister? I could picture him as a Twister guy.
It's you're hilarious. It's an old school superhero RPG.
Really?
Yeah. I'm trying to. I want to say I can't remember the name of it. It's not Champions, but it's a little bit older than that.
Not the Legacy one, is it? From Great Britain.
It might be. Well, let's not go down this
rabbit hole.
we could be there for a bit. So,
speaking of rabbit holes, Amit, you got 26 days to go. Are you going to be doing any like live demos? Are you going to be broadcasting from Gen Con as you hoist your any high into the air? Oh, I think I broke it.
Did you break it?
I think I might have broke it.
Yeah. Amit, are you gone? Maybe they had a sudden network.
Hello?
Hey, man. There we go. Oh,
sorry.
So I was. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I heard it. I said, I hope. But but yeah, I mean, yeah, we have a very big event. Actually, a couple of events, two premier events where they, you know, they're run by Encounter Roleplay. They have. You know, the two fellas from WebDM are going to be on it. The Blue Jay, who's a very interesting streamer, and a bunch of other really cool streamers, including, of course, the Will from Encounter Roleplay. They're all going to be doing two events on, I think, around the 14th and the 15th of August. All the accurate information is on our page. And I'm really looking forward to that. They're going to, these two are going to be emceed by Metamancer, who's emceed the Encounter Roleplay show. And I think it's going to be awesome. These guys definitely know how to, you know, do live streaming and get everyone excited. So I can't wait for that, actually. That's the main event. And we also have, of course, appearances on, very important podcasts like the Bath Podcast. So.
We'll give you $5 later, man. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're actually contemplating trying to break into the streaming space. We got a nascent Twitch channel. We're trying to get started the next couple months.
Oh, cool! That'd be awesome.
Yeah, need to. Blue Jay is going to be running one of your streaming sessions.
Yeah, she's going to be taking part, and she's going to be a part of the next Larkspur sequence, which is the name of the Encounter Roleplay show. So she's going to be in the cast of the next one.
Okay, I'll check out her channel and see how she does things, because we're trying to figure that out. So,
oh, you should definitely check out Encounter Roleplay. They're amazing at this. So,
I will note their name and check that out. Well, hey, I have got to wrap things up, because once the breakfast is done for the young man upstairs, I gotta get them dressed and off to daycare. Is there anything else we're wanting to tackle before we wrap it up here?
I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, we did cover a lot. And like I said, this is, you can't beat what you already have on the page, because you got that free starter set. You can take a look at the core preview book. I mean, there's so much good stuff here. There's a motion web comic, like an animated GIF comic that switched from panel to panel that you could read. I mean, if you're not backing this, then, you know, you hate fun.
You heard it from the man.
Damn straight.
All right.
But yeah, everybody's very welcome. Everybody's very welcome to everything we have on their page. We really like making this game, and we have plans for other games as well, but that's for another time. And right now we're very focused on City of Mist, and we just love it. And we love it that people love it. So, help us make more, basically.
Right on.
Awesome. And on that happy note, listeners, thanks for checking us out this morning. Amit, thanks for your time. Always a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And we will catch you all next time on the Banff Podcast.